Here's a story that's literally larger than life. It's about an art studio in North Korea that churns out propaganda murals and banners and all those massive statues of the great leaders. It seems their work, especially the statues with the bold authoritarian poses, are popping up all over Africa. My BBC colleague Lawrence Pollard has been looking into this. So you've written that if your taste in art leads you to want a statue in the classic bronze giant hailing a taxi cab pose, then who are you going to call? Mansu Dey. Tell us, what is Mansu Dey? A style?
It's basically like an art factory. There's 4,000 people that work there. What they produce, if you think of how our lives are surrounded by advertising images and so on, in North Korea, their lives are surrounded by propaganda. And all these images are made by Mansu Dey Art Studios. Now, they don't only make the massive bronzes, the huge heroic statues, the banners. They work in charcoal, in oil, in this thing called crushed jewels, which is semi-precious stones that get crushed up and then put into sort of poster paint. So they do all sorts of things just for North Korea. But they also, and this is the interesting thing, they start making a bit of hard currency, which of course is urgently needed by North Korea, by selling their stuff abroad. And what I was told was that the North Koreans began producing sort of war memorials, you know, big bombastic things. The first one was in Ethiopia, and it was a diplomatic calling card. Now, times have changed since then, and economics has begun to bite North Korea. And what's also happened is the kind of art that you saw in Russia and in China now only really exists in North Korea. So if you want that sort of thing, then that's who you're going to go and ask to do your large bronze statue.
Right. Well, one of the most famous is in Senegal. It's the African Renaissance Monument in Dakar. I've actually seen it. Here's a little taste of the dedication ceremony in 2010.
We have a monument, which is not only a monument for Senegal, not only a monument for Africa, but a monument for black people all over the world.
Wow, that's a lofty language for a statue. As I said, I saw this one. It is so huge, it makes you wonder whether the message is really about North Korean hegemony and less about the Senegalese, even though they're selling it to them. I mean, are those messages still there, do you think?
You do wonder, don't you? It's bigger than the Statue of Liberty. What's interesting is we went out on the streets. People really, really attached to the idea of this is something that we can be proud of. On the other hand, plenty of people saying, really, is this what we want to spend money on? And there was a lot of controversy about whether it was suitable. Senegal, a majority Muslim country, the statue, as you'll know, has a not exactly a semi-naked woman, but she's exposing one of her breasts. And this raises the issue. If it's supposed to celebrate the liberation struggle of many African countries, if it's supposed to put African countries on the map, then why do these statues look suspiciously North Korean? There's one in Kinshasa, which celebrates the assassinated president, Laurent Kabila, the father of the current president. And Kabila looks like he's been shopping for his tunic at the Kim's Pyongyang tailor. You know, it is identifiably an African head, but the body looks just like the giant figures in Pyongyang, as if Mansu Dey thought, hang on, we'll just put an African head on. And one of the art historians I spoke to said, you know, where are the African artists who are given the chance to do this?
Yeah, right.
Where's the African consciousness? And another guy made an art critic, Bill Fever, made a very amusing comparison. He said, you know what? You might not like them, but it's not that different from Mount Rushmore. Because what the point he was making there is that countries like a particular, quite bombastic, out there, in-your-face, simple style. When they are a young country that wants to establish themselves. And the irony that he was talking about was that by nation building with North Korean art, you end up looking, as you said, rather more North Korean than nationalist.
Lawrence, given that some of these statues are the size of skyscrapers, when you're in Mansu Dey in Pyongyang, I mean, do they work on like a finger in one studio and a ear in another? And how do they transport all this stuff?
Sometimes, the Renaissance in Senegal is a good example. Technicians will travel to the country and they set up a foundry at the bottom of the hills in Dakar in Senegal.
Wow.
So they actually had their own foundry there. They don't always have to do that. There's a very good story of some Germans who wanted to create a replica of 19th century, rather Art Nouveau-y, a fountain which had been destroyed in their city. The only people who could work in that style, what the West would see as a grossly sort of old-fashioned reactionary style, the only people who could do it and would do it with great pleasure for the dollars was North Korea.
The BBC's Lawrence Pollard, thanks so much for telling us these stories.
Marco, my pleasure.